The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. All right, a little more insight here. We can see and learn a little bit more about what kind of king he was and how his fame had begun to spread. And he had fame because, well, he had become powerful. He was following God. God blessed him. God gave him success. And so the kingdom of Judah even is growing, not to the north, Israel's there, but to the south, all the way down to the border of Egypt. And you can imagine how there were kings along the way who came to fear Uzziah because it became obvious that God was on his side. And he was powerful. And so these things become known, strength and power and success. Well, that's what Uzziah was experiencing. You know, that's pretty easy to get used to. I mean, if you were a king and things were just going your way, things are just really going good. And imagine, too, the fear of the other countries around who became to know of his power and who would bow down to him. And now there's other kings who are sending tribute to him. You know, that's got to be a little bit of a heady kind of a thing. You know, you start feeling pretty good about yourself. And he worked on reinforcing Jerusalem. And that's just another sign of power and strength. And you'd have to even think that those who were under his rule, you know, those of Israel, they're in Judah, had to start thinking, we've got a pretty good king. Because nobody's bothering us because they're afraid of the king. They see his power. Maybe even they say that his God is with him. In verse 9 it says, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Well, more insight. We learn a little bit more about the king and even his personal interests. And so he's making Jerusalem strong. He's fortified the walls, building these towers. And you know, everybody can see that. I mean, those living in Jerusalem, and not just those, but those who come in and out of Jerusalem can see the difference and see the change and know that there's some things going on, that this is a powerful king, and his wealth and his power, you know, would become known as those things would. And even he reaches out. He doesn't stay just in Jerusalem because he's a lover of the land, I guess you would say. He was a farmer at heart, I like that, and a rancher, and he had a lot of cattle, and he had those who were taking care of those things. Boy, things are just going good for Judah, and things are going good for the king, and his power just continues to grow. I mean, as the Jerusalem is reinforced, there's more even that goes with that. In verse 11, it continues, Uzziah had a well-trained army, ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jeiel the secretary and Maaseiah the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 men trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Think about that for just a moment. Now, we're not talking of Israel as a whole the way it used to be when there might have been a million fighting men. We're just talking about Judah, made up of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, which was a small tribe. But nonetheless, they've mustered up over 300,000 fighting men. And that's quite a number, you know, for the country being no bigger than what it is. And they are well trained. This is interesting, too. It's not just that they have soldiers. It's not just that they have an army. But it's an army that's formidable. I mean, they've been trained in such a way that they can go out. They're organized, you know, divided in divisions, and there's officers of each division. Don't you suppose that the other nations around would know that? I mean, the other nations, if they're wise at all, they know that. They know what their neighbors, what kind of strength they have. And it even goes beyond that. You know, in verse 14, Uzziah provided shields and spears and helmets and coats of armor and bows and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men to use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. And so, more insight there. And why he was reinforcing the walls and building those towers? Because they were going to be engines of war, some would say, that are placed in those areas. Defenses. And then this would seem to be something that perhaps all of their neighbors didn't have. Some kind of a catapult machine that would throw stones and rocks out on an attacking enemy. Or some kind of a machine that way that would throw arrows out. Now you know that that would bring fear upon their enemies. And so there were skillful men that were able to design these things and to build these things. You know, Uzziah is quite a king. And of course, as we read earlier, he knew God. He remembered God. And God gave him success. And he reigned for 52 years as well. Now, part of that probably overlapped some with his father, Amaziah. But nonetheless, he was a king for 52 years. There was a lot of good things that happened in that time. And his kingdom just continued to grow and continued to gain in power and strength. And his fame spread. But you know, sometimes fame can become a problem. Sometimes power and might and fame can become a curse. I mean, he may have wanted to look at this as just all being a blessing. In so many ways it was. God was on his side. How could that be a bad thing? But for God to be on his side first, he had to be on the side of God. He had to be one who was willing to walk by the way and the will of God. And apparently, at first, at least, he was. But something gets in the way. And there's something about his character that changes. You know, the title of the lesson is Pride. You know, a king who destroyed himself. How can a king destroy himself? I mean, you can understand if an enemy comes in and destroys the king. But in this case, there was no need of an enemy coming in to destroy Uzziah. He could handle that all by himself. And he did. Verse 16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. His fall was self-inflicted. Don't you hate that? When you do something that in time you realize was just the wrong thing to do, and there's no one you can blame it on except yourself. That's how Uzziah was. There was nobody he could blame this on. He had everything right. He was doing the things that he needed to do. He was remembering God. God was blessing him. And yet somewhere along the line, you know, he pulled his coat on real tight and he thought he was somebody. And that would haunt him the rest of his life. And we don't have to wonder, well, what was it that just really got him? No, God tells us that. The text tells us, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. In so many ways, end of story with regard to Uzziah. And we know how things came to an end. A good king destroyed by pride. In some ways, you could almost see it coming, couldn't you? I mean, things were going so well. He had become so powerful that we can even see and we can imagine how sometimes you just get ahead of yourself. And you start thinking about all of your accomplishments and you think you're somebody. And it seems like that's what happened to Uzziah. We can get caught up in ourselves. And this is not just a lesson about Uzziah. The whole purpose of us reading this text and thinking about what happened to Uzziah is we need to think about us. And we need to make sure that we are not going down the same road and that we don't forget who we are in the sight of God. So it was not just an Uzziah problem here that we're talking about. And so what did Uzziah do? What went wrong here? Well, In a simple way, you would just say he went beyond his authority. He started thinking more of himself than God, because he went against the will of God. That's the point. Remember in here just in verse 16, he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Even kings must obey the authority of God. And as the text says, he was unfaithful to God. That says everything. I mean, really it does. That just says everything. He was unfaithful to God. Verse 17, Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in, and they confronted him and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord." Think for just a moment here about a couple of things. The issue in and of itself was not burning incense. It was right to burn incense. Not for Uzziah to do it, but it was right to burn incense before the Lord. God had consecrated that. He had said this is what was to be done, but he also said who was to do it. And I can't help but smile a little bit and think with some amazement of these courageous priests who followed him in to say, "King, Sire, you can't do this." Imagine how courageous they would have had to have been to go in behind the king and say, "Don't do this. This is not for you to do," because it was the king who had the power to turn to his soldiers and say, "Off with their heads." And you know, Uzziah had about come to the point where he thought so well of himself. Would you have been surprised if he had done that? Because really now, pride has overtaken him in such a way that he didn't want anyone telling him what to do. In fact, he did not even want God telling him what to do. And we think, how can a man come to that point? How can one come to a point where, in essence, he's saying to God, "You can't tell me what to do"? But it is God who has the right and who has the authority to determine what should be done, particularly in the realm of religion. And so, in verse 19, Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn the incense, became angry. And while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Now you see what I was saying? He was angry. Fortunately for those priests, the leprosy came fast. Because couldn't you imagine him saying to his soldiers, "Get them out of here, off with their heads"? But something happened to him so fast that, well, he was brought down to size very quickly, that he broke out with leprosy. Verse 20. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. Boy, you want to talk about a significant emotional event? I believe this is one. I mean, all of a sudden now, Uzziah knows what he has done. And he's in a hurry now to get out of the temple. See, the priests were trying to hurry up and get him out of there because the temple was holy. It was consecrated. Leprosy did not belong in the temple. And Uzziah knew that too. And he knew that he had been afflicted by God. And in fact, he was covered with it. You know, sin can just have that effect on us. I don't mean the leprosy. But just like leprosy, how it covered King Uzziah, sin has that effect, doesn't it? Sometimes it can just cover us up. And if we're not careful, it can just be right there on us and we don't even see it. And sometimes even if someone else says something to us about a sin problem, we might even want to deny it because we don't want to see it. In the case of Uzziah, there was no denying the leprosy. because all could see it, and he could see it too. And he wanted to get out of the temple just as quickly as he could. But you remember again, the text tells us what the problem was, the root of the problem here, pride. Pride is a plague to man. And it can sneak up on us sometimes without us really thinking. And in fact, it can sneak up on us in such a way that it alters our thinking. Pride has the power and the ability to do that. When we allow pride just a little bit of room in our heart, it can grow and press good judgment right out of us. Now remember, it was previously said that Uzziah was a good king and that he remembered God and that God gave him success. But something happened when pride, you know, inflicted his heart and filled his heart. Pride is sinful. Let's just think here of just some different points and aspects of pride. Pride is sinful. We can make no argument about it. We can't deny the evilness of pride. We can make no justification for pride. Too often, we could very well try to minimize it. But there's nothing about pride that's minimized in the text, is there? I mean, we see the full force of what it was able to do to a powerful king that once knew God, but has moved far away from God. Pride is evil. Pride is sinful. God says so. And so there's no room to argue the point. Pride is condemned as evil. Proverbs chapter 21, a haughty look, a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Pride is sin. Well, where does pride come from? Well, the way the text would read in Mark chapter 7, that's covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil lie, blasphemy. Well, these are all horrible things. I mean, all of these are just horrible sins we would recognize. Oh, there's pride too. See, how's the next thing? Pride and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile man. You see, that's really the root of our problem time and again, is when our heart gets off track. And when we are not fully focused on God and what is His will and His way, it's a heart issue. It's a heart problem. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, that's where Uzziah had some problem. He became too powerful in his own eyes, to the point that even he thought he could go into the temple and he could offer incense. He could do that better than those old priests could. But it's not what God wanted him to do. God had blessed him as king. But being king did not make Uzziah a priest. Pride comes from the world. Here's something else to think about. Pride comes from the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. God can be blamed in no way when pride becomes an issue or a problem in our life. It's not God's problem. It does not originate from Him. It's what comes from the world. It comes from where Satan is at. In the Proverbs, King Solomon said a lot about pride. In Proverbs 16, Solomon wrote these warnings about pride. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination before the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. There's nothing pretty about pride, is there? And then he says in chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Well, that kind of describes Uzziah, doesn't it? That he became so proud in himself, he had that haughty spirit, and there was not a pleasant ending to that spirit. Our confidence should not be found in self. Our confidence should not be found in our own abilities or resources. God holds the day in His hand. We will do well to remember that. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Wow, that's pretty strong. But it's God's way of giving us the point here that when we become so wise in our own eyes, there's only bad things that can come from that. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Well, Uzziah found that out, didn't he? I mean, there was one day where it seems everything was going his way. He'd been blessed for so long, and he'd become powerful and rich. And yet, on the day that he decided to do his own thing, as opposed to that of God's, boy, his life changed. Proverbs 29, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Lessons learned that we have to be humble. If we are to be the people of God, we have to remain humble. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. You can see that in Uzziah's life. There was no pride to be found being struck with leprosy. And in fact, I don't know really exactly how long he lived at this point with leprosy. But you'd know that he'd have to be put in the place where all the lepers were at. His life changed dramatically at this point, didn't it? When pride comes, then comes shame. How different Uzziah's epitaph would have been if pride had not consumed him. Because we know Uzziah as the king who disobeyed God and who was struck with leprosy. And very quickly we can forget about all the good things that he had accomplished. We can forget about the fact even that he began his life knowing God and obeying him. Because what the end was, he disobeyed God. And he lived out his life with leprosy. God rejects the prideful. And that's a painful story that Uzziah learned. And it was not just about the leprosy now. But it's about separation from God. I mean, just like sin. I mean, leprosy in some of the texts we looked at, we're told that, or pride, I should say, pride separates us from God because it is evil. It is sin. And just like leprosy changed the life in a bad way for Uzziah, sin does that to us. I mean, when we sin, we are now separated from God. Our life is changed in the eyes of God, and we're no longer walking with him. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate, is what the Lord says. And so there's some very simple lessons learned. God rejects the prideful. Pride is evil. Pride is sinful. And of course, God rejects the prideful. And that sin separates us from God. And that includes those who are filled with themselves, those who are filled with pride. And that if we are to be the people of God, pride is not an option. We have to empty ourselves. He only accepts the humble. Greatness and pride do not cohabit. Not in the eyes of God. They are opposites. Godliness involves rejecting pride. And pride is contrary in all ways to the nature of Jesus. It was Jesus who humbled himself. It was Jesus who came to earth as a servant. It was Jesus who willingly was led to the cross. There's no pride in that regard, in the life of Jesus. We need to be more like him. And then pride has a way of sneaking into our heart. I just cannot imagine that Uzziah planned to become prideful in order to destroy his life. I'm just not seeing that. It's one of those things that just kind of came along in time as he thought more and more of himself and he thought less of God. And pride has that ability, like many sins, to just kind of sneak its way into our life when we're not vigilant, when we're not watching, and can consume us. And once a prideful attitude is in our hearts, it will, in fact, consume us. And so, lessons learned that we have to keep pride out of our hearts. We can learn some things from the king who destroyed his life because of pride. The song Dave's leading, I thought, was very appropriate. servants saw? That if we are to be a servant of God, it's going to take an attitude that's just the opposite of prideful, isn't it? And as the song is saying, we are asking or praying or pleading with God to make me a servant, just like your son. For he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to make me a servant. Make me like you. Powerful words. We'll use this song to encourage any tonight who need to respond to the gospel. Would you come as we stand and sing?